The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
What's this? Come on, let's put on the start of the show.
Well, there normally is an automatic intro, but I'm not
the
seeing one.
Trump rally.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Thank you very much, everybody, and hello, Philadelphia. I went to school in Philadelphia, I must say. I like it. And we won it twice, in actuality. And we won it all the times in the primaries. We had great success here. We're going to have the biggest year we ever had. This is going to be a big one. And hello also to this great place. I love this place. You know, I've gone to a couple of games. You used to have good teams. You still have good teams here? I don't know. A little bit. A little bit. I had a great coach, actually. Hello, Pennsylvania. It's good to be with you. Good to be with you. I'm thrilled to be back in the birthplace of American freedom with thousands and thousands of proud, hardworking American patriots, which is what you are. With your help, 5 months from now, we're going to win this Commonwealth. We're going to evict crooked Joe Biden from the White House. And we are going to make America great again. Less than 4 years ago, our border was secure. Inflation was nowhere to be seen. The world was at peace. They respected your country. And America was strong like never before, all because you finally had a president who put America first. I put America first. Now, under crooked Joe Biden, the worst president in the history of our country, the world is in flames. Our border is overrun. Inflation is raging. Crime is out of control. Europe is in chaos. The Middle East is exploding. Iran is emboldened. China is on the march. And this horrible, horrible president is dragging us toward World War III. We're going to be in World War III soon. I see every movie he's making. Remember, Trump was right about everything. You see the cap? Trump was right. We're racing a clock. We're racing a clock. We'll be in World War III with this guy. That's why this November, the people of Pennsylvania are going to tell crooked Joe Biden, you're fired. Get out. Get out. You're fired.
That was yesterday. Tomorrow we're going to have a Joe Biden conference. Crickets. I don't know what that first song was about. That's a local band, Jeff and the Low-Hanging Fruit Band. If I had a hammer.
Yeah. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, let's welcome the folks to Poke the Hornet's Nest. And I just want to make sure that we put out a corporate declaration. We will not be bought, you and I. We don't have any sponsors. You and I are the sponsors. So there we go. We've gotten rid of the corporate world. We are not to be bought. But we are open to suggestions. How's that?
Yes, absolutely. And we're not taking calls, so send them telepathically. You know, I'm reading a book now, and it's just fascinating. It's about the 1962 Cuba incident with JFK. And it's called Gambling with Armageddon, and it's by Martin J. Sherwin. The movie Oppenheimer was based on a book he wrote.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, people didn't realize what was going on down there in Cuba. The CIA estimated that the Soviet Union had 11,000 troops there. In fact, they had 42,000 troops there. They had subs down there in the Caribbean with nuclear-tipped torpedoes. They had anti-aircraft systems. They had 40 MiG-21s, 6 MiG-15s, 6 long-range bombers, They had 36 1-megaton nuclear warheads. They had 80 2 to 20 megaton nuclear warheads. They had 12 2-kiloton for artillery. And they had 8 to kiloton bombs. 6-8 kiloton bombs that would go on bombers.
Wow.
And, you know, I was just 12 at the time, but, you know, I thought, well, they had a half a dozen missiles down there, and we put a stop to it real quick. You don't realize how close we came to a nuclear war. And this book, I got it. In fact, I put it on my Kindle. I bought a Kindle here a year and a half ago, and I never used it. And I wanted to go camping. And so instead of dragging this great big thick book through it, I put it on my Kindle. What a relief. It's easier to read. Your eyes don't get tired. And it weighs about as much as a couple pieces of paper. In fact, it's called a paperweight. So if you're a reader out there, I would strongly recommend you get this book, Gambling with Armageddon.
Yeah. No, I think we're actually probably as close, if not closer now, than we were then. I mean, NATO's doing everything in its power to get us into face-to-face, hand-to-hand, arm-to-arm combat with Russia for no reason whatsoever. And Putin, of the leaders that have been around the world, Putin's probably one of the ones that if he says he's going to do something, he does it. And we have the morons in Europe and here at the stateside who are doing everything. I mean, you know, I talked about a little bit on our last show the fact that, Obama took stupidity to a new level. Biden has developed an entirely exceeded level. You know, when you're dealing with situations where you may need covert or, you know, you want the element of surprise, you don't go around telling the people what you're going to do. Obama was always good about, in 10 days in Syria, we're considering, you know, whatever it was. Well, just last week or the week before, Blinken goes and tells the world that America has given the green light for Ukraine to send missiles deep into Russia.
U.S. missiles.
U.S. missiles. Now, the reality is, let's be blunt, let's be honest with each other. It's probably been happening on occasion, but not very deep because it's been kind of a border skirmish. But when America tells somebody they can use our material to shoot deep into the side of another country, and Putin's saying he's going to go around and do asymmetrical warfare and return the favor to us. In other words, wherever we have interest, he's going to arm the people against us in those locations. I believe the man. And so, I mean, as close as we were back then, I don't think we're not that far right now, to be honest with you. And we have such an incompetent president. The tripwire is there. It's just a matter of who's going to trip on it.
I couldn't agree with you more. Another thing I learned from this book is Eisenhower wasn't such a good guy either. He sanctioned foreign assassinations. In fact, I'm pretty sure when he was in office, that's when we overthrew the democratically elected president of Iran and installed the Shah.
Yep.
And he was suggesting we assassinate Castro along with Kennedy. They were complicit in giving the okay to the CIA.
Yep.
And well, they're probably all complicit in the assassination of JFK.
Well, you know, it's funny. You the more you hear about the assassination of JFK and who the players were at the CIA, because Kennedy had said that he was going to abolish the CIA because it had gotten too powerful and was out of control. And shortly thereafter, I think it was within a week or two, he was going to give an announcement. He's dead. And the head of the CIA was George Bush, Gerald Ford. You start going through the list of people that are there. They were in our political system for years after they murdered a president.
Actually, Kennedy had fired Alan Dulles.
Yeah.
He was the head guy and installed another guy in there. I don't remember his name. But the advisors to Kennedy, I recognize a lot of those names. They've
yep.
been players for decades
yep.
in the United States policies, foreign policies, and you know, there's another good book, The Devil's Chessboard, and that will convince you that they killed Kennedy. I think they've come up now that there was four shooters.
Oh, wow.
And that, in fact, the doctors, there was two shooters in front, maybe three, and they had put patches in the back of his skull to make it look like an entrance wound instead of an exit wound.
Oh, wow.
I'm surprised you hadn't heard about
that. I had not heard of that, Nick, but I mean, you know, working for a living. Sometimes I miss all the news there, but you know, it's been an interesting day or interesting week this week. We'll just give a quick nod to it. The Board of Supervisors put in somebody at the Register of Voters and got rid of the George Soros supporting she actually got rid of herself, I guess. Let me qualify that. And got to somebody who is quote unquote being said that it's unexperienced or whatever. Folks, it's not a hard job. Don't make it bigger than it is. Keep the rolls clean. Count the votes. That is the extent of the Register of Voters' job. There's nothing deeper. There's no nuances. There's nothing. And be transparent from whether we win or we lose. Just if somebody wants to see the results, let them see the damn results. If somebody's died, take them off the rolls. Don't send a person like Nick Gardner two separate voting ballots, which totally supports the fact that there's a lot of wrong stuff that was done under the previous administration. So I'll give the guy the benefit of the doubt. Let's get through the first election before we make judgment. But, you know, I was talking to Nick before the show. This is the new liberal stupidity, and there's no other way to put it. If they don't win an election, they're going to go for a recall. I mean, Kevin Cry was in there 1 month, and they started a recall. This guy has just been appointed, and they're already talking about getting the ACLU to come in and file lawsuits for discrimination. It's like, is it every time they lose, they're going to start doing – is this the new norm in America that every time a liberal party or people lose, that's going to be the new thing? They've got to resort to lawfare? I think it is.
Here, I've got this email. Well, it's not an email. It was actually, it was a statement on Shasta Unabashed, or I thought you should know Shasta. This is Jessica French of Reading. Said she attended 2 days of job interviews and wondered whether the board violated any state or federal laws by passing up Francesca with 16 years' experience in favor of a candidate with no experience for the position. French posted a petition on Facebook on Thursday that asked people to support asking the ACLU to consider filing a class action lawsuit against the three supervisors who voted to hire Tom Toler. We've been talking about this for a while, but yesterday was like the straw that broke the camel's back. It was like, okay, enough is enough. What can we do? We decided to take action and start moving forward. So I just created a forum for people to sign up if they're interested. I just looked at it. We need 35 people, and it's been up for a couple hours, and we have 95 people. They're going to approach the ACLU to file a class action lawsuit. How are they harmed?
I don't know, and they can't prove that yet. And I'll bet you a large sum of worthless dollars that the 95 are probably from the recall.
You know, I think that might be a close assumption, and they're not giving up this. This is from Don Duckett on the same forum. Hello, good people of Shasta County. I need some help. I'm compiling a list of specific examples wherein at the Board of Supervisors meetings, a board member has interrupted a public speaker during his or her testimony or made my own regulations of the meeting, but it's not humanly possible for me to watch every minute of every meeting. So if you have such examples, please comment with the date of the meeting, name of the speaker, and a little time stamp if possible. Thank you for staying involved. So I imagine that's directed directly to Chair Cry. He gets people up there speaking, and they start wandering off in the Sahara Desert instead of talking about the subject like R7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he'll let them go on for a minute, and he'll say, is this R7? We're on R7? And they take exception to that. There's a couple of them that really get frustrated when their attention span gets broke like that.
Well, as soon as they open their mouth, their attention span is zero. And it's funny, it's not testimony. Testimony is what you provide in court. It's just public comment. And you're not, you know, these, I've said it before, you know, for as much as I disagree with Rickards and Garmin, the abuse that those folks take up there is, epic. And
they bring it on themselves.
Well, no, I'm just saying, but I mean, I'm talking about, you know, Cry and Kellstrom, everyone. I mean, just the, you know, they raise their hand, they go through the voting process, they get there, and then they're just hammered by people, and it's just, it's ridiculous. But go ahead.
Well, there's one gal in here, and this comes off, I think, a news cafe, the comments in there. I love to read the comments. They're so far out in left field. When I lived in Alaska, I worked as a quasi-political organization, and it was there that I learned that no matter who the elected governor or senator or mayor is, it's the support staff that runs the office. They are the people with the know-how, historical knowledge to keep the office running smoothly when a new head of office is elected. So I say, probably incorrectly, Joanna and staff at and HHS staff and Mosquito Board and all the county staff that CRI has terrorized, walk out. Yeah, I realize big words from an onlooker, but as long as all of us continue to enable the trio of boards of supervisors to reign their terror, it will continue. So she's advocating everybody quit and just let the county fall apart. And I'll say one thing about Francesca. Now, Clint Curtis was my choice.
Yeah.
And the reason I liked him is because he would challenge the state, in my opinion. He'd say, no, we're not going to do this. No, this is the law, and this is how I interpret it. And Kevin didn't like, well, that wasn't Kevin's choice. Tom Toler was Kevin's choice, and that's okay. You don't win everyone.
Nope.
And Tom,
you don't get every job.
And I was talking to a gal that's very, very well versed, and she said before they took the vote, she and her sister decided Tom Toler was the best candidate.
Well, let me ask something real quick of you, because Clint was the gentleman we had on our show.
Yes.
Who actually, yeah, okay, so first off, let's be very clear, everybody, to let you know what a conservative does and thinks. Clint is the one who wrote the program to manipulate the voting machines. He announced it on our show. He said it before. He is a liberal. And yet here is Nick saying he thinks that that gentleman, for his qualifications, would have been the best for the position. So I'm just showing that to you, Nick, that you put the quality of the human over the politics of the thought. And so that I just thought people should know that you're the guy you thought should get it is not a right-wing conservative.
Or he's a Democrat.
He's a Democrat.
Yes.
And so, you know, let's just be very clear that's a big statement. You'd never, ever in a million years hear a liberal say that about any conservative.
And then I like Joanne, and I think she has done a good job with the hand she has been dealt. But the voter rolls weren't addressed. My extra ballot wasn't addressed. She didn't say how we were going to cure this or cure that. And that's why I wouldn't have voted for her.
Well, I was thinking about this. You know, one of the ways we can keep the dead people from voting is there's a death certificate that gets recorded or gets filed. It's a death certificate. You have to do it because, you know, whenever you die, you got to use that to go through all your insurances. Have somebody whose job is every day to get the death certificates from the day before, cross-check the voter roll, and remove that person. It has all of their information, their address, their name, their birth date. That's one way you can keep the rolls at least from having dead people vote.
Well, on top of that.
That's very easy. That's not a tough job, folks.
On top of that, Bev Gray brought to their attention people that had registered to vote and that did vote, put the flagpole, the giant flag up on Bocelli Lane as their residence. You know, the second tree past the pit stop in Big Bend is where I live.
Yep.
And that kind of stuff. And those should be physically checked out.
Yeah. I mean, it's not hard to find. And you can't have a voting address. It's a business. That's pretty easy to get to as well. You know, is this address a business? I mean, folks, they have a staff. When there's not an actual election, their job by description, by us paying them with our taxpayer money, is to keep the voter rolls clean. That's what they do. They don't go around setting up polling booths. They don't go around doing – they're supposed to keep the voting rolls clean and then get prepared for the next election, which normally falls on, at a minimum, 2-year cycles. It's not an incredibly difficult job to have somebody go, okay, today we're going to go and start checking the A's.
You know,
bees. I mean, it might take a couple months, but it wouldn't be that hard to verify these addresses.
Well, I imagine you could get volunteers for that, too. I went to the second day of the questioning, and I thought all the candidates had good ideas. One guy, I forget his name, John something, he came from, I think, Illinois, county that had 500,000 people. Guess how many drop boxes they have there?
I'm hoping zero.
Three.
There you go.
You know, and I don't know what we got, but we got way too many. And there's just each of them had something they could contribute to making our elections fair, honest, and everybody in Shasta County have confidence in them. And that's all we want.
That's it.
And Joanna Freshcut, she showed so much class. She said, I'm staying on the job. I'm going to get this county through these elections. And it was subliminally, in my opinion, said that, Joanna, stay here, learn from this, and you'll win the election next time.
Well, you know, that is a sign of character that, you know, in the middle of chaos and not being chosen to stay the course. You know, it's that shows that she's got some integrity to the process, and hopefully maybe she had ideas that Kathy didn't want to do. I don't know. I just know that our system was corrupt. You started off the show with a rally from Trump. Now, those rallies were like that in 2016. They were like that in 2020. Joe could not fill a room with 20 people if it wasn't 15 reporters. And all of the anomalies that were even at the local level. We need somebody that we can verify we had a fair election. And if we lose, we lose. But we don't want all of
that's
this.
That's right. It's just like my guy was Clint Curtis. Well, you chose Tom Toler. Okay.
Okay.
Let's go.
Let's have an election.
I'm not going to sit here and whine.
And let's move on, and let's find out how he does. And holy cow, maybe he does okay. And if he doesn't, he can't do any worse than Kathy. Just to be blunt. I mean, I'm so adamant about the fact that she went to the Washington Spy Museum for an event funded by George Soros, probably the most evil man walking this planet. And our registered voters went there as either a compensated or at least supported speaker at an event that George Soros put on. That already sends to me the flags of what kind of quality of character that person is. And so hopefully whoever they now have, this new gentleman, does a great job. And if he doesn't, there's an election, and maybe she'll win next time.
One of the recallers I already mentioned to recall. Trouble is they can't recall an appointment. Probably shouldn't have told them that. Let them waste their time.
Well, and money. Like I said, I told you, Nick, you're a man with your finger on the pulse in the city, because you go to both the city and the Board of Supervisors, and I had heard through somebody that with Mr. DeQuisto stepping down, that somebody had suggested that Reznor is in the wings. Have you heard any more on something like that?
Nope, I haven't heard a word, and I'm wondering when they're going to make an appointment.
Yeah.
I think they'd be wise not to make an appointment.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's a 3-1, so it really doesn't matter if they make an appointment or not.
Absolutely. But the good news is...
Yes, come back, Joe. Come on. Come on, bring it back, Joe. Come on.
Mark Mazzano declared he's running again.
Oh, that's good.
He should be a shoe-in.
Well, I would hope so. I think Mark's done a good job. I mean, you know, there's only limited things you can do at those positions, but I think Mark has done a good job.
Well, there's only limited things you can do when you're in the minority, that's for sure.
Well, absolutely.
But he knows what's going on in the city, and I hope that they can recruit a couple other people. Paul DeNuca is running. Doc DeNuca.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he would be a wonderful choice.
Oh, I don't know the gentleman.
So there we would have two. So far, Julie Winter isn't running, so... we've got a chance to get three conservatives in there.
You know, I am floored. I'm still floored to this day that we live in a section of the state that I think everybody would freely identify as red, i.e. Republican, i.e. conservative, quote-unquote, air quotes there. And yet we have a city council that's liberal, and we have this board that is just being challenged on everything. And it's like we outnumber, and I say we conservatives outnumber liberals by a quote unquote registered 2-to-1 ratio. There shouldn't even be, you know, we should be in the majority running the things. And yet here we are fighting against a minority. So whatever they're doing, it's working, I guess.
Hey, listen, I've got this article to waste a little time until the break, which is in about a minute. I've got a new song coming out after the break. It has to do with a baby that was aborted. It's new, and be sure and listen to this. It's very interesting. Okay, Texas passed a law banning puberty blockers and genital mutilation surgeries for minors. Texas passed this law in June of 2023. Clearly, Americans believe that subjecting minors to procedures constitutes dangerous and permanent child abuse, regardless of whether a 10-year-old may believe differently. And most Americans believe parents have no right to subject their children to such abusive procedures. I agree. There's an indictment, a four-count indictment against Dr. Ethan Higham. He obtained personal information, including patients' names, treatments, codes, attending physicians from Texas Children's Hospital, electronic system without authorization. He allegedly obtained the information under false pretenses with the intent to cause malicious harm to TCH. What TCH was doing these procedures and giving puberty blockers and hormones to kids and claiming it was something else, and it was Medicare fraud, medical fraud. Higham leaked the documents to Christopher Rufo in May of 23, showing Texas Hospital continued operating on child gender clinic state law and claimed it had been shut down. In a nutshell, Texas Children's Hospital allegedly violated Texas state law after falsely claiming that they had shut down the illegal gender procedures. And the doctor who blows the whistle on TCH faces up to 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine for HIPAA violations. It should be known that the doctor has been accused of obtaining but not disclosing personal information from those hospital files. So he rats on the hospital for them doing procedures that are against the law and claiming it's something else and getting money, and they prosecute him for obtaining the information illegally. Isn't that something?
Well, that's going on a lot right now.
So we're going to a break, Ben? Break?
We'll be back on the other side.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Redding Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank the Redding Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Elevate your Bandaloop viewing experience in celebration of the Sundial Bridge's 20th anniversary with Turtle Bay's VIP ticketed viewing party, taking place during the Bandaloop morning and evening performances on both Friday, June 28th and Saturday, June 29th. Individual tickets as well as tables for eight include admission into the VIP garden area with the best reserved views of the Bandaloop shows, plus food and drinks served by Mosaic Restaurant during the evening performances. Buy tickets now for the VIP experience at celebrate20.com/VIP.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Room 101, 14th anniversary. Do you enjoy bold, aggressive cigar profiles? Well, this stick is not for the faint of heart or palate. AJ Fernandez has packed a wallop of a smoke. Get ready, folks. This cigar is a knockout. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Redding Rancheria for their support of the Kiwanis Dusty Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Anyway, and there are bad mistake that needs to go.
That's a tearjerker, isn't it?
Wow. That's a pretty good song. I mean, that explains the whole situation about as good as you're going to get it.
Well, you know, when I was a young man, when Barney and his wife got married.
Barney, Frank, and Joe Biden all hung out.
Well, I worked in logging, and what we did was cut trees, drink beer, and ball chicks. And
yeah.
I thought abortion would be just fine, although I never participated in one that I know of.
Yeah.
And then at, I guess that's about 44, I became a single dad of a little boy. And, man, I'll tell you what, my attitude changed quick.
Yeah.
It's amazing how little children depend on you.
Oh, man.
And how vulnerable and innocent they are. And I believe that life starts at conception. But, you know, that's my opinion, and I don't believe the government should legislate it. I think it's a personal choice, and if you decide to have an abortion, well, that's a few notches, demerits down on the character list with me, but it's your choice.
Well, the problem is, in my opinion, and my mom, let me bring my mom into this. My mom wanted kids, like, she wanted 11 kids. She ended up with 6. So she was a kid-loving person. Then she was a woman. So let's qualify that. Actually, when they used to identify her as a biological woman, not like they do now. And so she was a woman, and she was a mom. And she had a very profound idea, because this is during the Roe versus Wade back in the day and stuff. And she said, look, the first 3 months, woman may not know they're pregnant. They might get there, and all of a sudden by the third month, 99% of women know they're pregnant, and it's part of the woman. It's if you take it from the woman, it's not going to live. So it's kind of, it's part of the woman, and give the woman 3 months to make that decision. And this is my mom speaking. But after the first trimester, I mean, nowadays I think preemies from 5 months old with proper care can make it. And so her thing back in the day was the first 3 months are up for the woman to make the decision, but after that, have it and adopt it. But, you know, so she kind of had a hybrid between both. She gave a choice for 3 months, but after that, the choice had been made, unless it was health of the baby, health of the mom. And I always thought there was some common sense approach to that for some weird reason. It just made sense because it was coming from a woman, and it was coming from a mom who loved kids.
I've heard of gals that use that as a form of birth control.
Well, I just think it's funny they call it reproductive rights, and the first thing you're doing is killing.
And,
that's not reproducing.
I've read, too, where there's couples that want a boy, and as soon as they can distinguish the sex of the child, if it's a girl, they abort it, try again for a boy.
China made an entire 2 decades of that. Seriously. China's really in a bad spot. So for as much as everybody thinks China is our biggest enemy, and they are, but they're a dying and dead country. They had 20-plus years of one-child rule.
Yep.
And basically, if a young girl was found either in the womb or after birth, they didn't do well in that society. And now you have an overwhelming young male population with an overwhelming shortage of women because the Chinese did exactly what you just said. They literally aborted and killed little girls for their one-child policy. And they're paying an extreme price now. Extreme. So, there you go.
Hey, I've got some clips of that supervisor's meeting. Do you want to go back to that?
Sure. It's our show. We can do whatever you want.
Let's go to the first clip.
You must have a hand audit, which is kind of complicated. You know, I mean, one's terrible and one's great. I don't know the point. But essentially, you know, that's where you are, and that's where you are.
Okay. So, yesterday afternoon, I had some time to reflect. And I just would really want to know, I'm going to ask for a really deep down in the bottom of your heart answer. Why would you want to move to Shasta County? You know, I was out trying to gather some strays yesterday, chasing off some coyotes, and I'm thinking, you come from you have a law practice in New York City. You come from Orlando, Florida. You're a city guy. And, you know, I think it's great that you think this board majority, you know, that you're so excited about coming, but this board majority is going to change. You're taking a real risk here that you're not going to have like-minded board members, and you could become very much at cross purposes. So I just want you to really you know, tell me, why are you giving up a lucrative law practice, the ability to travel across the United States, testify in court, get your name out there? It just doesn't make sense to me, and I really would like to know from the bottom of your heart the honest truth as to why you want to come here.
That's a good question. Get asked that a lot. Essentially, I will be taking a pay cut, a sizable pay cut. Doesn't matter. I'm old. I got tons of money in the bank. I got a $3.5 million of receivables. I'm okay. You know, money's not that important to me. But I've been on this journey for 24 years, trying to fix a problem that I kind of helped create. Now, granted, if they hadn't asked me to write...
Mary, what's gathering cows and chasing coyotes got to do with deciding who's going to be our ROV? She's always bragging about herself.
Well, and the funny thing is...
did this, and I did that, and you're a city boy, and you can't do it.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, Nick, is obviously Rickards didn't do any research. He doesn't know what the hell she's talking about because the guy is a registered Democrat. So, I mean, literally, if he's willing to come this far, either he's coming to skew the system and screw us, or he actually believes in the system and fixing it and making it right and having integrity. But isn't that kind of, you know, what we want in Shasta County? I mean, look at, and Rickards, newsflash, I'm a real estate agent. I've sold 1,100 homes, well, getting close to 1,100 homes. Many of my clients came from big cities, L.A., Sacramento, San Francisco, Bay Area, San Jose. Is that a discriminator? Should I not be selling houses to people from the big city because you have a country life?
You ought to put a clause in there. We can send them back where they came from if we don't like them.
Well, I end up liking a lot of them. They became, you know, friends over the years. But the point being is, when has that become the qualifier? That, you know, you're a city guy and you're coming to Shasta County. Maybe, I don't know, Rickards. It's because we have probably, in my opinion, and I've said this many, 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 many times in 26 years of real estate, it is my opinion we live on the best absolute spot on planet Earth. We have the greatest weather. It gets a little hot, but we don't have humidity. We're 3 hours from the ocean. We've got a ski resort 1 hour north. We're 3 hours from Reno. We're 3 hours from a big city. We've got reasonably, or we used to until Joe got in, we had reasonably very low crime. We have a major river running right through it. We have two massive lakes. In my opinion, we have the gem on planet Earth. Earth, along with the best weather. Why wouldn't you want to come here, and why is that a qualifier for this job?
You left out. We've got KCNR.
We got KCNR.
Conservative Talk Sunday.
We've got Poke the Hornet's Nest. There you, dang, Nick, why did I do that?
You know, getting back to the weather, we're having a cool down, and it's actually starting today. I hope you didn't put your windbreakers up, because it's going to average about 100 degrees over the next 4 or 5 days, and then you're going to need your down coat, because it's going to be 98 degrees, I think, Thursday or Friday before we go into another heat wave.
I'm already shivering. Well, you know what's funny is I have this conversation a lot when people go, oh, Florida, this and that. The one thing that's beautiful about our location on planet Earth is it's hot. Okay, let's call a spade, but if you get in the shade, it instantly drops about 12 degrees. So yes. You get in the shade. You go to those places with high humidity, it doesn't matter where you stand. The humidity still, you're sweating bullets out of every orifice.
You know, when I was 15, it was 123 twice one summer.
Oh, I believe that.
And it takes time to build up and go down. The summers aren't near as severe as they used to be. We never had a breeze. But I remember Mike Warren took the temperature gauge from downtown Reading out to the shade out by the airport so it didn't deter tourism. Well, you know, when they hear it's 118 degrees, I don't want to go to Reading.
Well, you know, what's funny is there was a reportage, I think it's the right word, on global warming and what a hoax and a complete fabrication it is. In the United States, I think there's something like 75 or 80, quote-unquote, recording stations, and they've moved almost all of them to places that are right on top of asphalt.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And it was fact. They went and showed it. So they've moved these recording places to places that are going to be extremely hot just to skew the data. And if they had moved it out into an actual, just surrounded by dirt and no tree, it would be more accurate. But the global alarmists have done it so they can say, oh, the world is warming up. And the reality is it's not. So yes, back in the day, I was told by all the old timers that just before the dinosaurs went extinct and you and Fred and Barney were hanging, that 120 days were unusual, but they were common. They came a lot.
And you always smelled smoke in Reading.
Yeah.
You know what? Chicago so hot that it generates its own thunderstorms because of the heat that the asphalt and the cement and everything absorbs.
Well, and then they got all these, the Lake Michigan or whatever's right there, and it's got all the humidity.
Yeah. Getting back to Mary Rickard.
Please.
You know, I went to one of Kevin's coffee with Kevin at 8 o'clock on Fridays down at Kaleidoscope, and he mentioned, I remember Mary complaining that she had so many committees that he appointed her to. I think it's 12, and she's got 12, and Kevin's only got 5 or 6, and Patrick's only got 5 or 6, and it's just not fair. Well, she asked for all those appointments, and then she gets them, and she whines like she's being, you know, picked on.
Yeah.
It's just, boy, I'll tell you what, if you were planning on voting for Mary Rickard, I would take a long look at Corky Harmon, and I think he would be a better choice.
Well, yeah, I just that does not surprise me that she asked for them, she was appointed them, and then she bitches that she has too many of them.
Let's go to the second clip there.
Antonio Palacio, followed by Lori Bridgeford, followed by Gary Cadden.
Good morning. I don't believe Joanna fits the ROV position. I personally saw that she could not handle stress. That much stress would not be good for her mental well-being. Anytime she had to confront someone, she would explode and not handle the situation calmly. She did not want the observers to know or see what was going on. I saw her come out of her office, and she looked like she had been crying. The mistakes that were made in the last election between Laura Hobbs and Longs was unfair and unjust. That needs to be corrected. There should have been a runoff between Laura Hobbs and Long. She knew the importance to read the audit logs, yet she chose
cut that. Would you, Ben?
Not to certify the election.
I don't believe that's the one I want. Is that 342.15? Three hours, 42 minutes, and 15 seconds.
On the sheet, it says 2 hours. Would you like me to move it to three?
Yes.
Okay. Give me a second.
Or no. Yeah, that's it. 3 hours.
Welcome to live radio, folks. This is how we put our clips together. We give our tech people the window that we want, and sometimes a number is transposed.
Oh, boy.
Nick.
You know, I've only made one mistake in the last 7 years. Cut me a little slack. I can't even read my own writing.
I mean, you're Mr. Perfect.
Anyway,
all right,
Mary.
342.13, here we go.
Poppin', man, poppin'.
This was the summary. The Shasta County Grand Jury launched an investigation into alleged violations of elections codes prompted by a complaint submitted to the grand jury by a concerned citizen. The complainant alleged that on Tuesday, October 24th, elections officials at Shasta County Elections Office violated election codes when staff did not allow election observers to see the ballot envelopes nor challenge the signature verification of mail-in ballots. The grand jury feels it is important to clarify any lingering misconceptions within the community about election observations. And the finding, there was one finding. The Shasta County Grand Jury, and this is a separate body, non-biased body, Shasta County Grand Jury found that the Shasta County elections officials adhered to the relevant sections of the California Elections Codes and California Bill of Rights on Tuesday, October 24th, 23. This is validation that the ROV office is functioning legally and within the parameters of their responsibilities. So.
Supervisor Jones.
Thank you, Chair. Unfortunately for the grand jury, they didn't actually interview the actual person that made the complaint. That probably would have been helpful. And, in fact, what I witnessed on the recount of Kevin Cry within less than 40 minutes, I saw at least two election code violations, exactly what was labeled there. So, you know, unfortunately, the grand jury probably got it wrong on this one, so I wouldn't hang my hat too heavy on that. From my own observation, and they didn't even interview the applicant that made the complaint. So just to follow up.
Well, I would need to have verification on that.
It's in here.
Hey, if we can, it's still a job interview. We're still.
That's the recall, people.
Yeah. So, is there more?
Okay. So here's.
I wanted to listen to Cry's comment.
I have a lot of thoughts. Supervisor Rickert, do you want to finish your statement? I mean, that honestly, what you said or Supervisor Jones said, like,
anyway,
has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
That's the end of it. She does that every subject, she'll go on and on about something that doesn't even pertain to what the job interview. Can you imagine that?
No, I can. I can. I mean, she's the one that was crowing like a chicken that she won her last election, and then Jonesy had to point out, well, you ran unopposed, Mary.
That's terrible. Poor girl.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, if you get a participation trophy, everything is worth talking about.
Yeah, she probably adds an extra hour to each meeting, probing like a defense attorney, looking for some little morsel that she can get her point across, even if it's not pertaining to the subject.
Well, I mean, that's the thing I think Kevin is trying, and maybe better than Patrick, maybe not, but he's trying to keep things on tracked, relatively speaking. In other words,
so Don,
if the subject's here, let's stay on the subject. Stop going off on the personal.
You just interrupted. Don Duckett said that's an interruption to the speaker. That's their Fourth Amendment right to speak, even though it's not. He's shortened up the meetings tremendously.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, I mean, they don't have the recall.
Absolutely. No, I was pointing out Don Duckett. She wants people to call up when they've been interrupted.
Oh.
And, hey, this isn't on the subject, folks.
Yeah. Stick to the matter at hand. So
we've got this last clip, and this is how the vote went. We're ready.
So I would be supporting Joanna if we don't go with Tom. I want Tom to bring the things he spoke about, and if he... And I actually told him right over there on the railing. I said, hey, I didn't ask you this, but I've talked to every candidate. I said, are you going to truly give everybody a shot to be? Because I think there's some really good people in that office. And he said, absolutely. And again, all you can do is go with a gut. I've coached way too many years and way too many thousands of kids and led way too many people to not go with my gut. And if I thought any different, I wouldn't put him forward. Supervisor Rickert.
Yeah, I just have a question. Is it possible, the candidates are sitting here, is it possible that they can ask a question or a comment? I just feel like we're kind of talking around them.
Well, I would prefer not. But
okay, but I'm just asking if that's just a possibility.
No, we're
maybe not.
Supervisor Garman.
Thank you, Chairman Cry. So there you have it, folks. Supervisor Cry just laid it out for you guys. He gave us an ultimatum. It's Tom Toler or it's Joanna. And he did this so the other two, Supervisor Kelstrom and Supervisor Jones, you guys are being played. Just like I told Mr. Mangus yesterday, sorry to throw you under the bus, Mike, it would be Tom Toler because Cry would play this card.
Well, it's not a card. We're doing it.
No, excuse me. That's my time. I'm talking. I think that it's wrong. It's just a disgrace to this county, and it's going to be a sad day for this county if it goes down this way. But I would urge Jones or Cry to step up and not let Cry run over you.
You mean Jones or Kelstrom? Because Supervisor Garman, like, this is the difference. You make these deals in public or in private. I make them up front. Don't even impede my character. I'm talking now. You're coming at my character, and I'm doing it out here. I said this process was going to be done this way. I was the one that led it like this, that wanted it to be in public, that wanted it to be transparent, because you and other people do this behind closed doors. I did it that way because... it needs to be said. This is what I think, and I would rather be open to the public about my decisions and choice. And the fact that you would do that is insulting to the four people sitting over there. Supervisor Jones.
Well, thank you, Chairman Cry. I mean, it is a little bit of arm twisting, but that comes with the job. And if you can't handle it, you shouldn't run for a position like this. There's lots of choices.
Exactly.
We have to make a decision. And Tom is a good guy. I've known him. I like his thinking, and so you don't have to twist my arm too hard for a really very good individual that has a lot of history here in Shasta County.
So, poor little Timmy got pushed out of shape. I heard they had to turn off the air conditioning when they went back into the chambers out back because of all the frost between the two.
Well, you know, it's funny is, you know, Garman has a history of doing that secret stuff, and then when he gets caught, you know, it's a scandal. So here's Cry saying, I support this guy, which he has every right as chairperson to say, here's why I support him, and put it out there. Now, is it strong arming? No, but that's what you do when you have the gavel, so to speak. You're allowed to give an opinion. But it's the committee, or in this case, the board, that's going to make their decisions. And if your opinion sways a vote left, right, up, or down, that's what the job. That's how it actually goes. So if Garmin's rebuttal changed Kellstrom's vote or Jones, that would have been the exact same effect. It would have been exactly the same, just on the opposite side. These guys...
Timmy, he wrote a letter to the editor, and it didn't amount to much. But he's going to be on Shasta Unabashed Tuesday at 6 o'clock, and I'd encourage you to listen in. I listen to their show. I don't agree with hardly anything they say, but I listen to their show. And I think it's going to be interesting. Listen to Timmy cry Tuesday.
Well, I mean, what's he going to cry about? That there was a public forum. They
You cheated.
They had four people in front. It's like, you know, the whole scandal about the AG report and Patrick Jones in the letter. I'm willing to bet if you got an honest review of what happened with the lawsuit, the criminal investigation, and the funds, through an honest, real fact-based thing, the findings would be 100% different than what the AG issued, that everything was above board and great. So, you know, the guys cry wolf every time. It's just amazing. It's just freaking amazing, you know?
I'd like to thank Chair Cry for putting that public and out in the open the hiring process.
That's my point.
You know, years ago, 2 years ago, they'd have done it in the back room with old Timmy back there, and they'd come out, and we've decided this is our OV.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't know how they decided it.
Well, and that's the thing is that, you know, whenever there's, you know, talks about wages and this and that, it all goes in, you know, private backdoor stuff. It's my money. It's your money. It's people listening. It's their money. We have a right to know what we're paying our employees. We have a right to know because we are paying those salaries when we walk in there, and we have a right to know what are they doing in public. Now, we may agree that they deserve a pay raise. Maybe they don't. But it's our money, and that's government. They're supposed to be public, and most of these kind of deals always go down the back, and they go, oh, well, such and such has been nominated for this position. How? Why? What were the qualifications? So I do applaud Cry for holding it out and letting everybody hear each candidate's you know, point of view. I agree.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that was good.
I thought he was pretty cagey the way he did that.
Yeah. Well, and Garmin tried to assassinate him right there in front of everybody. And it's just, if there's character assassination, Tim Garmin is the one that could have it for some of the stuff he's pulled recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's the end of it. Good show.
Well, thank you. And I just want to give a shout out. I did, if you guys are out looking for barbecue, Fat Daddy's Barbecue, Nick gave me a card for a sandwich, and I went in and I ordered my ribs Nick style, and they were very good, Nick.
I'm glad you liked them.
Yeah, so Fat Daddy's Nick style, they're excellent, and I recommend it wholeheartedly.
They're glazed.